today's call is, I think, going to be something that's going to be applicable to everybody. It's going to be very applicable to new people and a good reminder for all of us that have been with Symmetry for a while even. Some agents are extremely profitable. Other agents struggle with that side of things being profitable. And there's something in common, I think, that I've found. All the ones that seem to be very profitable. Let me go ahead and mute the lines because it seems like there's an echo. Let me see if I can get rid of that by muting the lines.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. There we go. So something that all of the agents that are very profitable have in common, it's not as much the skill in the home, even though that obviously does play a factor. It's not as much about getting bigger policies, which comes with time and with practice. It has much more to do with the closing ratio or getting resolution on a lead. And it's interesting, a lot, especially with newer people, they come into this system, this opportunity, this business model with leads. And the leads seem to attract a lot of people because it does make it a lot easier to do a business, especially with insurance, when you have people who are interested in what you sell and what you are offering. But they come in a lot of times with the expectation that it's going to be more like you're going to be more of an order taker. And they're just going to walk in and they want it and they just enroll the client. And if there's any resistance, they say that the leads aren't very good. Well, we all know that there's going to be some resistance. These are people that we're dealing with. And a lot of people don't, they have the I want to think about it objection. So there's going to be some resistance. And I think part of it is we need to do a good job of setting the right expectations on what leads are. It's a good foot in the door. These aren't magical leads. They're not going to convert themselves. It's a good foot in the door. And it's our job to get resolution on these leads. We've talked about it a lot in the past, but we've got some people on the call lined up that have some of the highest closing ratios and they're the best at getting resolution on their leads. And it's a lot easier to be profitable with a higher closing ratio. In fact, if you think about, if you are at a 30% closing ratio, which is the minimum to keep your leads even on, you have to have at least a 30% closing ratio. But if you're at that level, let's say you're spending $300 a week, $1,200 a month on your leads, and you might be making a total of $4,000 a month, let's just say. Well, by the time you subtract out the leads, you're down to $2,800 in net profit. This isn't very good at all. But if you were to get that closing ratio to double that, which is 60%, it doesn't just double your profit. If you double the revenue to $8,000 and you subtract out the same $1,200 lead cost, you're now at $6,800 in net profit. It's almost three times more. So getting good at this, getting good at resolution, it's not a matter of, it's not going to increase the cost of doing business. It's very small things. It's not big changes. It's very small changes. And you've probably all heard Nate talk about his mentor, and he drew a line, a vertical line on a piece of paper, and he said, okay, the bottom of the line is broke. The middle of the line is average people and average income, middle income America, and the effort that they put in to being there. Where's wealthy? And Nate put the very, very top of the line, way further away from middle class and what average people do. And he said, that's the problem. That's why you're not wealthy, because you don't know where wealth is. And he drew a dot right above, just barely above average. He said, being wealthy is doing just a little bit more than what the average do. It's not doing way more. And that's the reason why a lot of average people don't go after wealth, because they're assuming in order to get it, it's going to be so much work to do it, and it's just not worth it. And wealthy is so close to average, it's just doing a little bit more of the right things. And that's what we're going to talk about. And I thought, what is that? What are the little bit more of the right things to become very profitable? So the first person I want to bring on is Nathan Decker. Nathan Decker is part of Marlon Faulkner and Derek Brock's agency. He's been with how long have you been with us, Nathan?
I went full time in August. I've been around probably six months to a year before that.
Six months to a year, and you just came on full time recently. I think probably because you were realizing that your other job was costing you too much. You were making money, but it was costing you too much because you could be spending that time here and really making a lot more money. What are you doing? Because you do have a good closing ratio, and you really have the activity. And I talked to Marlon. He talks to you a lot more than I do. And he says you're doing a lot of the right things. What are you doing to get a high closing ratio on your leads and just maximizing what you can out of them?
Really comes down to, in the beginning, it was just down to activity. Marlon's always worked with me and really hammered on getting resolution, doing everything you do, visualizing this family as your family, or, why are you doing what you do? Are you doing this to help families, or are you doing this to make money? And it kind of comes down to both, because, when I went full time, it half the motivation was, getting a better close ratio means more money. But also, am I really doing these families justice?
Mm-hmm.
And, we all want to be, a better business owner. I want to be a better follower when it comes to, if Marlon's telling me something, I want to at least give it a try, a really good try for an extended period of time where I know, this is something that either works or doesn't. So I want to be a better follower so I can become a better leader down the road. And when it came down to that, I just started just going out there and doing it. I didn't have a clue what I was doing at first. What's a drop by? That's the first question any person has. What does that mean? And at first it was really awkward, and I didn't know what I was doing. Just going up, knocking on a door, and hey, here's this lead. What did you mean to do this? I didn't really have a clue, and I kind of morphed from that into after most of them, calling Marlon up and saying, what am I supposed to be doing? What is the, what is the mindset behind this? Because I don't feel like this is, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing when I'm walking out the door. Sometimes it yields results, sometimes it doesn't. But there wasn't a whole lot of consistency in the beginning. And so it really came down to, to getting back, just same mindset as a script, and not taking people's excuses, and finding out, what their why is, and getting down to it. It went from not having a clue to really working with my mentor and figuring out where my head needs to be when I walk up to the door. And it went from there to now really just trying to get more creative, not necessarily adding my own spice to it, but, figuring out, where can I use this more? How can I more utilize this? For families and for myself. So getting resolution on any type of lead, whether they just told me no, whether they filled out, the entire client qualification form and then said, oh, I'm too busy, or, you sound scary, I don't want to meet with you, or, whatever their excuse was, I'll drop by and before I would just drop by if it sounded like they really wanted it, but they didn't really know, or they were shy, or something like that. Now it's just come down to
Nathan. You're telling me that even the ones you talk to, not just the ones you can't get a hold of, but you're saying even the ones you talk to that you don't get an appointment with, you're actually driving to their home. Wow, great. So what are you saying to somebody that says, you call them up and they say, we changed our mind, or we're not ready yet, or whatever the reason is, but you don't get the appointment. When you drive there, what does that look like?
Before it was more of a scripted thing, and I didn't really know what to say. Now I've become a little bit more natural at it, and I've been able to tailor it a little more to, based on if they texted me or left me 5 voicemails saying don't come, depending on how that went. Because like yesterday I dropped by a guy that was, you know, fill out the entire call sheet, you know, went through the whole thing, and then, you know, well, okay, what time should I drop by? And, oh, don't come, we don't have time, I'm super busy. The guy didn't have a job, he was a double amputee at no legs, so I knew he wasn't going anywhere. So I knew I could drop by any time, and he'd be there. You know, so at that point, you know, I just kind of dropped by and said, hey, I just wanted to introduce myself. You know, we talked on the phone. You know, I know you had a concern, you know, that, you know, something may have happened between now and then. That's fine. But I just wanted to let you meet me, you know that I'm here for whatever kind of needs you guys may have in the future or right now. And, you know, also to let you know this isn't the only thing we do. You know, if you have more pressing concerns, you know, like burial protection, you know, because he was older. You know, maybe that's a bigger concern right now than what you had before with mortgage protection. You know, I'm not here to be pushy. I'm just here to tell you you got options and I care. You know, I'll be here for you.
That's great. And you actually, know, on your business card, you just told me a little bit ago that you actually list out the things that you do on your business card so that, and you tell people, these are some of the things that I do, right?
Right, right. Yeah, it's one of the things, you know, it comes back to being a business owner, because I know Nate, you know, I've talked before about, you know, I don't use business cards, and I quit using those when cell phones came out. You know, and that's really true when it comes to being in the home and people want to tell you, want to think about it. I never bring a business card into an appointment like that. If I need it in the end, I'll say, oh, I left them in the car, and I'll go get one or something like that. But when it came to this, I thought, you know, what can I put in their hand or use as a visual to, resurrect that interest or that why again? And, like, I was standing on the porch with a lady Monday or Tuesday night, and I just put, you know, I said, hey, you know, you left me a voicemail. I got it. You didn't want to meet with me. That's fine. If you change your mind in the future, you know, here's a card. You know, this isn't all we do. And, they're actually homemade. You know, they're really simple. You wouldn't want to look at them. But that's what I told her. I was like, hey, I don't have nice ones in yet. So, you know, I apologize, but these are just kind of, make it until. And so she started looking at it, and she looked down, and she says, oh, well, this says you do annuities? You do annuities? I said, well, you know, I hate my boss, and so I might be getting fired this week. I might call you so I don't have a 30-day to roll over my 401k.
That's awesome. great stuff. Anything else you want to add before we bring our next guest on? Some really, really good info there.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. I know there's probably people that are on this call that have been with us for a year or two, and you're saying, yeah, I know this stuff. I know how to do this stuff. And your closing ratio is at 20% or 25% or 30%. And I don't remember who I heard this from. Somebody very wealthy said to know and to not do is to not know. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves is for somebody to say, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, I know. Especially when I'm trying to teach somebody and they interrupt me and say, oh, yeah, I already know. Oh, that just gets under my skin. And I know that I used to do that. I used to be like that. And it's something that prevents you from learning. So I'm encouraging everybody to, even if you think you know some stuff, there's so many times that we forget or we don't apply things. We maybe do know it, but we have to be reminded so that we actually start doing it again. So the next person I want to bring on is somebody that is absolutely has that right attitude. He is constantly learning and so teachable, so coachable, and the activity is there to back it up. He's got a growing team, and he probably, I don't want to say has the highest, but it could be the highest closing ratio in the team. And what's awesome about this person is he's the most consistent, I would say, at least in the top three of the entire SWAT team. Extremely consistent in the activity, in the results, in the APV. And, you know, he's got a very, he's very calculated, and he plans out everything. And I want him to talk about that. Aaron Holub, are you on the postcode?
I am there.
Awesome. You just, I mean, you're consistently at probably between 20 and 30,000 a month. And a lot of that I think has to do with, and you weren't always there, right? You didn't come in doing that. and we had a lot of conversations about being intentional and planning out your week, and you're not in an area that has a ton of leads right in your backyard. You have to drive and drive to different areas, and where do you live, Aaron?
I live in Crescent, Minnesota, by LaCrosse, Wisconsin.
Okay, not a big population, right?
No, there's 5,000 in LaCrosse. The area has maybe 100,000.
Okay, not enough to keep you busy as a full-time agent. So give us some pointers of what you do to be intentional about planning your week and where you're going. And I know you implement bonus leads a lot, which has a big impact on a higher closing ratio. And just give us some good pointers about what you do and how you've got such a good closing ratio on your leads.
Yeah, and for those that don't know what the closing ratio is, they're talking about closing the number of A leads that you've got. So if you've got 10 A leads, and you've got 3 applications, you're at a 30% closing ratio, which is the minimum, right, Brad?
Yep, minimum.
Yep. So you don't necessarily have to close 3 out of 10. If you're getting 20 D leads, and let's say you close 2 out of 10 of your A lead, and then you close 2 out of 20 of your B leads, then you've got a 40% closing ratio.
Right, and it doesn't even have to be closing those leads. It could be that you've got all 4 applications in one home. You still have 4 applications per 10 A leads, so you've got a 40% closing ratio. Great, great clarification.
Absolutely. So I was taught that people that plan, or the people that fail to plan to fail. And as you mentioned, Brad, we had this discussion over and over and over again before it finally sunk in that I needed to be more consistent. I need to plan where I'm going. You can't decide on Saturday or Sunday, I wonder where I'm going to work next week. You got to have that in mind before the week starts. The beginning of the week prior, you need to be thinking about that. By midweek, you need to know where you're going the following week. That way you can make sure you have the resources that you want. I had a big problem with inconsistency in the beginning. And you need to find a way to get over that and plan. We always talk about goal setting. And why not do the same thing with our business? Start with the end. Start with the goal. How much annual premium do you want? Let's say I want to get 10,000 annual premium volume, or let's say 5,000 annual premium volume for a week. Well, in order to get 5,000 annual premium volume, you need to sell at least 10 applications. Or 5,000 annual premium volume, or let's say, let me back up.
Well, it's about 1,000 per app, so 5 apps. Right.
You
do 5,000 in the week.
If you want to do 5,000 in premium, you need to get 5 apps. In order to get 5 apps, you're going to need to sit kneecap to kneecap. I always say double that. Let's say 10 people. As you get better, that ratio is going to go up. But let's say you need to have kneecap to kneecap with 10 people. Well, you're not going to kneecap with 10 people if you have 10 appointments. You're going to need 15 appointments because 5 of those people are not going to show up, or they're going to forget, or it's going to be a one-legger and you got to reschedule. So, you need to have 15 appointments. What does it take to get 15 appointments? You need to know what your numbers are for your lead. So when you're looking at $5 leads, you can figure 1 out of 5. So if I want 15 appointments, I need 75 leads. So you go on to app and figure out, okay, where do we have 75 leads? You don't want to be driving all over the place if you can avoid it. So ideally, you want to get that all in one county if you can. That way you can get all 15 appointments in in Blount County. That's not always going to happen. I'm where I live, I don't have anything close to me. I'm driving almost 3 hours to the Twin Cities. I'm driving 2 hours to Madison. I'm driving 3 hours to Milwaukee, 4 hours to Des Moines. So I need to know where I'm going. Where's a good pocket of leads this week? So, for example, this week coming up, I needed more leads. I saw there's a big pocket of leads down in Des Moines, Iowa. There wasn't a huge pocket that I'd want to dedicate a few days to up in the Twin Cities or in Milwaukee or Madison. So I said, well, let's go buy some leads in Des Moines. I bought 155 D leads in Des Moines, and I'm going to be there for 3 days this next week. So that's basically how you need to plan that, but otherwise it's not going to happen.
You know, Aaron, I hope a lot of people on the phone who have leads locally are appreciating that fact, listening to what Aaron has to do every week. And if you don't have leads in your backyard, there's a lot of agents that the way they respond to that is they feel sorry for themselves, and they say the opportunity is not there like it is, you know, for me, like it is for other people. And you're proving that to be not a reality at all. The opportunity is there for everyone. You just have to do a little bit more planning, and you know, you may have to drive an extra hour to get to, or 2 hours to get to the area that has enough leads. What are you doing? Because you're also like Nathan, you're not afraid of door knocking. You do a lot of that. In fact, I think the last insurance, you've been an insurance for a little while, that's all you did with that company, right? You didn't have any leads. You didn't do any phone calling. That's all you did. So you were very comfortable knocking on doors, right?
Right.
So I'm a
big. You never really get comfortable knocking on doors. just like phoning, just going into the home. You never truly get comfortable. You got to push yourself out of that comfort zone and make yourself do it. And the more you do it, the better you can handle being uncomfortable.
That's a very good point. So I'm a big fan of being efficient with your time, and not just when I started doing door knocking. Sometimes I'd go out and just for the whole day, my plan was to knock on doors. And it never worked out really well for me. It got very frustrating because 8 out of 10 homes weren't home, and I felt like I was just burning gas and wasting time. So what I started doing is I would have a folder of door knock apps where I couldn't get a hold of them, or, you know, they wanted to reschedule and it never happened. And I'd carry this with me whenever I'm already going to be in the area, whether it was on leads or going to a dentist appointment or whenever I'm going to be near those people, I would always kind of have them paper-clipped together. An area would be paper-clipped together. So if I'm going to that area, I'd go through and I'd go knock on some doors. And, you know, that was the way I would handle it, is I would it'd be just, if I'm knocking on the door, it'd be just like I'm calling them. And I'm doing the qualification form. If I have an opportunity to sit down with them right then and there, I will. Otherwise, I'm going to set the appointment to come back. And I know that you do that. How many door knocks do you do per week, would you say, on average?
It varies. I try to do somewhere between 10 and 20. It depends on how tight my schedule is packed. I take that group of leads, and I schedule who I'm going to try to door knock in between the appointments. So anybody that's going to be in an area where I've got appointments, those are the people that I want to door knock. And if I get stood up, then I already know where I'm going to next. I'm not sitting in my car twiddling my thumbs, oh, man, I got to wait for my next appointment. No, I'm going to go knock on some doors and see if I can come some business.
So you're not spending any more time than you otherwise would. And that's what some people think. Oh, that's going to take a lot of
minutes. Yeah. You got to take a few extra minutes planning out, you know, mapping it out and everything before your day starts. But that's really all it takes.
Just having a plan. Awesome. Anything else you want to add before we need to bring on the next person?
Well, I guess the other thing is having lead, new, a fresh batch of leads coming in every single week. You know, if you're committing to, I want this many appointments every week, well, let's commit to having the same number of new leads coming in every week. And let's say you've got an older bunch of leads, you can always back that off, but always have fresh new leads coming in, because the people that you've been calling for 2-3 weeks, they might not answer the phone this week either. So make sure you've always got something fresh coming in to make sure that you're going to get the appointments that you need.
And a lot of people don't know that you can get on a standing bonus lead order. So if you've got, if you're in an area that has 500 or 1,000 bonus leads, you can get on a standing, or if you're following somebody else, if there's an agent in front of you on A-lead and you're not getting enough A-leads because somebody else is getting the most of them, you can do a standing 5-A-lead order. So as soon as those A-leads from the other agent hits 5 weeks, you get them. That's a great thing to do, because when they're 5 weeks old, that other agent, who knows how good they are at getting resolution on their lead. There might have been somebody that was out of town or whatever, and a couple weeks went by and that lead went to the bottom of the stack and never got called again. So that's a great thing to do, is to get on a standing bonus lead order. And again, you're right, 100% right. That will increase your consistency every week. So great points. Super proud of you, Aaron. Love having you on the team. You're a great asset. So just appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
All right, the next guest we're going to have on, I don't know, Matt Smith, if you want to add anything here, if you have any tips or pointers, feel free to jump in. The next guest that I want to... You're good?
I'm good.
All right. So the next guest I want to bring on is, I just have so much respect for him and his wife. They're a huge asset to the SWAT team. They do so much behind the scenes, and the story is one of the most incredible stories that I've heard. And I think, I'm looking so forward to someday hearing them tell their story on stage. I'm sure it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And Tim Diekman, I don't know, are you there?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. Awesome. I don't know if you want to share some of your story or not, but it's just such a compelling story and overcoming adversity and now, you know, seeing the consistency that you have. And you know, talk about somebody that you were working 50, 60 hours a week at a job in that transition and then another probably 20 hours here, all trying to maintain, you know, everything at home and everything else that you do. And now you're full-time with Symmetry. You've got a really high closing ratio. Tell us about, you know, give us some good pointers on how you're finding success here.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Brad and Matt, too. You all have done so much for us. It's such an honor to speak at any time. It is just a great honor. I've been with Symmetry now for about a year. That occurred to me the other day. It's really flown by. Not full time for that entire time, for probably about half. But Jennifer and I just came from a pretty difficult situation, and this just really came at the perfect time. It really rescued us. It's really given us time to heal and just time to work on our family and get Jennifer better. And it's just been an incredible opportunity. And the perspective that I want to kind of talk about is a little bit different from what has been shared. And man, I have such a respect for Aaron Holub. I mean, I've got 2,000 leads in my backyard. It's just, wow. The things that folks have to do to really get successful, I mean, it really lights a fire under your rear end, you know? And we are so grateful. And so my perspective is a little different, and I want to give just a little bit of backstory here, Brad, but I've been in healthcare for 20 years, worked in radiology for years and years and years. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people on the other side. Most of us, when we're working our fresh leads or our older leads, we're sitting in front of folks and they're talking and we're having a conversation, or we're on the phone, we're reaching out to them. You know, and I've seen a lot of people on the other side who are laying there lifeless, and they don't have a pulse, and they're blue or they're gray. And there's a team of highly skilled people scrambling around trying to save this person's life that has just been flown in from out of state or in the middle of nowhere, had a horrible accident. And I used to work for probably the number one and number two largest, most influential health systems and hospitals really in the entire Midwest. Just phenomenal, phenomenal hospitals where they are magnet hospitals where people are coming from the East Coast and the West Coast in droves because the outcomes at these hospitals are phenomenal. So people come in who are almost dead or incredibly sick, and they leave 90 or 95% of the time whole. And so it is a magnet hospital. And, you know, there is nothing like being in a trauma room where someone's just been flown in. They're laid out on a cold table. They don't have anything on. I mean, talk about the most vulnerable moment of your life. And you've got a team of people scrambling around where you may have 30 seconds to 3 minutes to save that person's life. And the purpose, the accuracy, and speed at which those people, that team of people work, is unprecedented, Brad. They work so fast because you literally have one chance to do your job to save that person's life. And if you miss it, they actually might die. You know, with my part, I did radiology. So I would literally produce an image of that person, the inside of their body, so that these doctors and residents and everyone could see what was actually going on in there. And so I really had a very critical role. And if I couldn't get the picture fast enough, it was not good. And so I've really, really learned that what we do is so valuable. And what I do a lot of times when I'm on the phone, when I'm working through leads, I'm looking over the leads, I'm looking at their names. Maybe I'm crazy, but I visualize what these people look like, right? I visualize what they look like. Mm-hmm. I look at their address. I know Kansas City pretty well. There's a lot of different parts of town, suburbs, and I visualize what their house looks like. I visualize what their family looks like. And then I think back to so many times, so many experiences when I was in the hospital and I was working on, you know, trying to save someone's life, you know, or else, you know, talking to them whenever they're after a surgery or after a trauma, and I'm in the hospital room with them. And a lot of times I got to see the person when they got into the trauma room, when they're dead. And then I would actually get to see them and visit them periodically over weeks or months. We have had people stay for 8 months. You build a relationship with somebody whenever you help save their lives, and then you see them every day. And you get to talk to them. And it's amazing because sometimes they're so grateful, and sometimes they're angry. And a lot of times what I've found, Brad, is that when I'm talking to these folks either in the hospital or I'm talking to folks on the phone or I'm in someone's house and I'm sitting with them, you know, and I'm working on trying to figure out a way to get them covered, you know. A lot of times, they may snap at you. They may not be very nice, you know. They might be rude. They may hang up the phone. What I found out, Brad, is most of the time it's because they don't understand. when I would help those patients, a lot of times they just didn't understand that I was there to help them. It's that simple. Hey, buddy, I'm just here to help you. I'm just here to help you. People don't understand. It's my job to understand. It isn't their job to understand. It's my job to understand so that I can be their advocate and so that I can help them. And so what I do is I visualize. I visualize everything. And one of the main things I really try to avoid doing, this really goes against guys, because guys are so analytical and we think with our heads and we're kind of headstrong sometimes and stubborn. I really work at and make a conscious effort to not think with my head. I think with my heart. Don't think of these leads with your head. Think of these leads with your heart, because it will literally change everything. When you can visualize what that person looks like, you know, and you visualize where they're at, you visualize what their house looks like, you visualize who they're trying to protect, it truly changes the urgency in you. And there's nothing more rewarding than being with a family or being with a mom or a dad or a little grandma, and you're sitting in their house, you know, and you're just about to leave. You've just gotten them covered. And they grab your hand, literally. They grab your hand, short little grandmas, and they're looking up at you. And they look right in your eye, and they say, thank you for not giving up on me. I know I canceled and rescheduled 5 or 10 times, but thank you for sticking with me and not giving up. And I have had that happen countless times, Brad.
Wow. Man, great, great stuff. It is such a fact that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And when they know that you care, even the people that you think aren't interested, they'll tell you they're not interested. That's not reality, right?
Yeah, absolutely true. Yep.
They do have a need. They do need this product. Everyone's going to die. We don't know when. Everyone needs this product. Most of these people, they filled out a form because they knew they needed it. And the reason they're either not picking up the phone or maybe they changed their mind is not because the need has changed. It's because, and I love the analogy that you just made, Tim, people are confused. They respond that way, just like a confused patient. They respond sometimes because they just don't understand. They don't understand what you do. They don't understand what the situation is going to look like. And it is our job to first let them know that we care about them. We care about the situation. And then second, to clarify. Well, I love that. And when you think with your heart, I think and Marlon calls it the care ratio, not the closing ratio, the care ratio. If you care enough about these families, you will have a good care ratio and make sure that these families at least have a resolution. It's not our job to sell every lead. It's our job to get a yes or a no. And I think when you make it that simple, it takes a lot of the pressure off. You have to sell all these leads or all these families. They're not leads, they're families. But when you take the pressure off by saying, all I need to do is separate this stack of families into a yes pile and a no pile. Anybody that's not in a yes pile and even the no pile, I love, Nathan, what you added to this call with you move that into your unresolved pile still. And that unresolved pile is the door knock pile. You're still going back and caring about these families enough to make sure that they have all the information, know what life would look like. Great call, guys. Matt, do you want to add anything?
No, this has been great stuff. I think I love kind of ending with what Tim's talking about, because it really comes back to the why. You know, it's not just all about the how and the what, but why are we doing this? Why do people buy? And that's this weekend, or not this weekend, but yesterday here in Atlanta, is, you know, everyone wants to know how to sell. And he said it doesn't matter how to sell. It's understanding why people buy. And it's exactly what Tim's talking about. You know, why are people concerned? Why is this coverage important to them? It has nothing to do with how we sell it to them. It's just understanding why they buy and filling that need and making sure they understand that we're there because we care about them and their families. That's a great call, guys.
Yep. Awesome stuff. Thank you, guys, to Aaron and Tim and Nathan for helping out with the call. Hopefully everybody got a lot out of it, and we can start changing some of the activity we do just a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit of a change, and increase your profitability possibly by double or triple. So everybody have a great weekend, and God bless.